You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
And welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, and Calvin Butenoff coming to you live from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. You can call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. You can leave a comment if you're watching in the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Coming up later on today in the 5 o'clock hour with Maggie Dawn, not only will she have another keyword for you for our multi-state text to win Go for the Green and Gold contest, but she's going to be talking to Luke Baumgartner, a repeat guest from George Washington University. And they're going to talk about online radicalization and extremism.
Okay.
With an emphasis on Antifa. Should be a very interesting discussion. Join Maggie Dawn. Her show starts at 4. That's into the 5 o'clock hour. Okay. Right now, we are delighted to be joined, excuse me, by State Senator.
You make us verklempt, State Senator.
Also, yes. State Senator Kelda Royce is here. Good morning, Senator. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning. Great to be with you again.
Well, you made your announcement on our friend and colleague Todd Albus program that you were jumping into the race for governor. So, Senator, for people who may not know much about you, and tell us a little bit about Kelda Royce.
Well, I was born in Marshfield and spent my early years in rural Taylor County, which if you're not familiar, it's north of Highway 29. My family lived in a one-room schoolhouse that my parents remodeled after it was vacant for many years. I now represent the Dane County area in the Wisconsin State Senate, where I serve on the Budget Committee. I also previously served in the State Assembly, where I helped fight against Act 10. I'm an attorney and a small business owner, mom and stepmom of five, and I was the executive director of NARAL Pro-Choice Wisconsin. So I have been in the fight here for Wisconsin alongside all of you and your listeners for 25 years.
It's 25 years, really?
Yeah.
I've done nothing with my life, folks. I'm going to see you later. I'll be like,
oh, come on. No, getting the word out is probably the most important thing we can be doing. We need to connect with each other. And that's what you do every day.
While we are living in such divided times, Senator Royce, how do you come in as governor and try and get things done and appeal to everyone? What would be your first priority if you were elected governor, do you think?
Well, my first and only priority is making sure that Wisconsin is a place where every single family, no matter who you are or where you're from, that you have the freedom to thrive. And, you know, certainly it's about making sure people have good paying jobs that don't just pay the bills, but let you actually build the life you want, right? Give your kids the future you want. Making sure we have affordable housing and childcare, that everyone has access to good health care. And reinvesting in our public schools that have really gotten shortchanged over the last generation. So those are key priorities. And I think, you know, there's so much emphasis on the things that divide us. And that's a really cynical thing that I think the right wing has done with our politics. But when you actually listen to people and you travel all over the state, as I have, right, you know, for more than 20 years, mm-hmm, you find that we've got a lot in common. People really do want the same things. And the policies that I'm supporting are not controversial. They are supported by the vast majority of Wisconsinites. They want someone who can get it done.
Well, and I think, and we've talked about this a lot, especially when it comes to public schools, most people love their own public school. There is this perception it's that other public school that's the problem, but I like my kids' teachers. I like my kids, mm-hmm, you know? And so I do think that there's wide support for public schools if it's in your own backyard.
You're absolutely right. You know, and the reality is that the vast majority of kids in the state go to public school, and it shouldn't matter how wealthy your parents are, you know, what kind of neighborhood you could afford to live in, you know, how rural your community is. You deserve a great public school. And we need to focus not just on making sure that teachers have the resources they need and schools do too, but also that our kids are equipped to thrive. So it's not just more money, but it's actually better schools for our kids.
It's really disturbing to me, and I want to say this goes back at least 20 years, that we expect teachers to pay out of their own pocket for school supplies. When did this become so normalized that we just don't have the money to give paper and rulers to our kids?
Right. You know, and I think about every August, I'm always in a mad dash to get school supplies for my kids. And, you know, I try to get as many things off those teacher wish lists as possible. I send my kids with extra supplies because I know there are families out there that can't, you know, that will really break the bank for them. And the reality is, this is why I've been such a champion for healthy school meals for all. Right? Because every kid will do better and learn better if they have good, nutritious, healthy food, that a lot of it can come right from our own farmers here in Wisconsin. This is a win-win. And think about the burden that takes off of working parents, right? Even if you can afford all the grocery costs, you know, trying to get your kids fed is really important. And school supplies is one piece of that. But we don't expect firefighters or police officers to spend thousands of dollars on their training, you know, to go to extra schooling, to buy all their own supplies, to, you know, chip in for the fire engine.
Right.
And yet we somehow normalize this with teachers. And when we see now ICE agents being recruited, people that have been rejected from police forces all over the country, people that are not qualified to be in the military, and they're being offered six-figure salaries and massive bonuses. Oof, that's a kick in the gut to the teachers.
Absolutely. And I want to take the education component and attach it to something bigger. And I want to reference something that when you came to our show a couple months ago speaking about the Wisconsin state budget and the news had come out, Senate, your colleague, Senator Hesselbein, got in the room, talked to Republicans, Governor Evers signed it. It seemed like we're like, oh, here we go. And you came on our show and you're like, no. And I was like, oh, no, what happened? And really, I want to thank you and also Representative Hong for being so vocal. And there were others, too. But the two of you being so vocal on what you did not like about this budget. It passed. It needed to pass. We didn't want to go back to old spending. But I guess the question I have for you is your non-support of this budget. What are you going to do in the governor's office when you get your mind around the budget as far as being governor? How are you going to fight for the things that you feel we all as Wisconsinites need in the next biennium?
Well, for me, it's really about what are our priorities. And the budget is where you show that. And I will say, you know, we've got a lot of good Democrats thinking about running for governor, but I'm the only one that has served on the Finance Committee. And knowledge of that state budget is incredibly important for our next governor, because we're going to have a really short window of time in which to make real change and actually invest in our kids. So for me, it really is looking at the fact that our kids have not gotten an inflationary increase in their schools in a generation, in 15 years. They're still not recovered from the deep and devastating cuts that Scott Walker made. Yep. And, you know, the other piece of it is we are shoveling billions of dollars of our taxpayer money to private, unaccountable voucher schemes, you know, and private education is fine, but taxpayers shouldn't be footing the bill. And the vast majority of families that are taking advantage of those vouchers are people whose kids were already in private school.
Yep.
The parents were paying, and now the taxpayers are footing the bill for wealthy people who want to send their kids often to religious schools. And I think, you know, that offends a lot of Wisconsinites, because we know that every kid deserves a great public school, but we can't continue to fund two school systems, especially when we've been shortchanging our public school kids.
If you're just joining us, State Senator Kayle DeRoys is our guest. She is running for governor of Wisconsin, and there is a tracker about how much we spend on public and private schools.
Yes, the Wisconsin, I want to get the actual name correct here. It is the I'm sorry. You put me on the spot.
Yeah, I surprised him with
that. I will get it in the show notes. It's a tracker from the Wisconsin Education Action Network. If I'm getting that name wrong, I apologize. But what they do is they allow you to drop down into your specific school district and find out how much of your tax dollars are being siphoned. And I'm using that word siphoned deliberately into the voucher program. And another thing too, State Senator, it's not only people who children are already in those schools, but it's also to families who can certainly afford those schools too. So they're getting free education.
Well, and the piece that blows my mind the most is that there is no oversight body for these schools. They don't have to report to a higher standard. There's no one overseeing their graduation rates, their mm-hmm. curriculum rates. They don't have to do the same kind of reporting that public schools do. And yet we're giving them taxpayer money. I don't understand.
And they don't have to follow the same laws either. Right. I mean, you know, these private schools, they can discriminate against students.
Against anybody.
Can you imagine? Against teachers in the employment context, and their teachers don't have to have the same kinds of licensure and educational requirements. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, again, I think parents can make whatever choice they want to, but the idea that taxpayers should simply foot the bill for wealthy families to send their kids to private school just doesn't pass the smell test.
This has been tried in numerous other states. I want to say Arkansas jumped in big on school vouchers. I believe Arkansas has also done the same. And there have been reports about this, specifically about the number of people who, as you pointed out, Senator, can afford private schools, already had their kids in private schools. They were paying for it. The vast majority of these people are the ones who are getting the benefits, who don't That's need exactly them, right. who yeah. don't need them.
Right. And I think about the fact that all of us want our kids to have a great education. I mean, we want our kids to have more opportunities than we did. It starts with our public schools, mm-hmm. and our kids deserve that investment.
And I think something going back to what you said, Jane, too, people, you know, the people love their public schools. They love them so much that they vote to raise their own property taxes for them. Right. And I've said this before, and I will continue to say this. I do not have children. I do not have a direct stake in my public school system in Kenosha. But I voted to raise my taxes because I understand the effect, impact, and the long-term investment of having good schools in your community and how it comes back to benefit you as a taxpayer. So I voted yes. It did not go through because I think, honestly, some taxpayers are saying, why do I have to keep doing this? And it's, as both of you were saying, is because it's been systematically choked out and suffocated by one side of the aisle, who, by the way, and I always say this to Robin Voss, if you're listening, the greatest increase in a generation doesn't mean anything to me when you barely gave them any money in the first place. When you give them 10 bucks one year and you give them 15, that's not worth bragging about. And that's what you did to education, including 0K-12 increases. So, sorry, I'm going to take a moment.
They dug a 10-foot hole. They threw 3-4 feet of dirt in and gave themselves a pat on the back.
Exactly.
Give them a break.
Yep.
Right? Well, let's be honest about what's happening. And the property tax thing is real. These divisive cycles of referendums and forcing school districts and frankly our local governments mm-hmm. to go to taxpayers and say, please raise your own taxes. That is really unfair. And it pits neighbor against neighbor because property taxes are too high in the state because of Republican policies. Republican politicians have hoarded billions of dollars at the state level. They have left revenue on the table by keeping cannabis illegal. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, other states have legalized it. They have shoveled our tax dollars to vouchers and to big corporations and the wealthy and are shortchanging our kids and forcing you, property taxpayers and homeowners and renters, to foot the bill. And it's just not okay.
Well, and I think the biggest example, at least for me, on how the government has not been adequately funding municipalities, the city of Brookfield had to do this, people. The city of Brookfield had to bring a referendum. Brookfield is a pretty wealthy community, and even they were like, yeah, we don't have enough money. This has been a problem. We're going to continue our conversation with Wisconsin State Senator Kilda Royce. She is running for governor of our great state. We'll continue our conversation on the other side. Stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Dr. Slide on the board, coming to you live from Radio Park in Racine. You can join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Don't forget our multi-state text to win. Go for the Green and Gold contest is underway every day. We're playing for $200 in cash.
Oh, boy.
A lot of folks, we can all use an extra $200 right now in gold jewelry.
I could really use some gold jewelry.
I know. And then a great grand prize. Your next chance to enter via the Civic Media app Only is coming up in the 11 o'clock hour with Tom Hartman, so stick around for that. Right now, we are joined by State Senator Keldo Royce, who has her hat in the ring to run for Wisconsin governor.
And State Senator, I saw an opinion piece come across the Cap Times 2 days ago from John Nichols, and this applies to the congressional race for Tom Tiffany's seat as far as his running, but I think this applies to what you are talking about, especially from where you come from, which is the title is Democrats Should Fight for the North. And I think that in the past few years, people have realized, oh, Madison, Milwaukee, and Green Bay aren't the only Democrats who vote. I think we've seen an importance of finding out what those folks out in the North, it meant not even if they're Democrats, just what people are talking about, because they can get left behind, because people, Democrats, can sometimes say, farmers, they'll never vote for me.
Why should I go there?
Rural people, they'll never vote for me. So you're from the North, and you hear those conversations. What do you hear from those individuals? And tell the listeners why it is important to fight for the northern area of Wisconsin.
I think we need to fight for everyone in Wisconsin, no matter who you are or where you're from. And there are a lot of people out there who are struggling, that have been betrayed by Donald Trump and by Republicans in Washington. And they have every reason to be angry and upset, because he promised to lower costs, and everything that he has done has stabbed them in the back, right? He's raising costs. The tariff taxes are costing families thousands of dollars more in added costs for items. Our farmers are suffering. Meanwhile, he's spending $20 billion to bail out an Argentinian dictator and help their soybean farmers who are competing against ours, who now can't sell their soybeans to China because of retaliatory tariffs and the chaos Trump is causing. So there's a lot out there. There are people who will vote for us. They will listen to us, but we have to go and show up. And, you know, I think we have to, the tone sometimes that Democrats use to campaign, I think, is real off-putting to people. And you have to be willing to welcome people who think differently from you. I mean, that's kind of a, you know, Midwestern value, is like, we take care of our neighbors, and then, but we don't get up in their business. And
that's right. Yes.
And I think sometimes, you know, Democrats, or especially like on the left, you get a little bit of, you know, telling people a little bit how to live and how to think. And I just, you know, that's never been my deal. Yeah. I just, I'm really a live and let live kind of person. I want you to have healthcare, whether you like me or not. And I want your kids to have a good school, and I want your roads to be well paved so you can get your, you know, milk to the cheese plant, regardless of whether you vote for me or not. And I think, you know, we've kind of, we need to show up in these places, and we need to listen carefully to what people are saying. And they have every right to be angry, and we can help them.
Well, and I would like to think that over the last couple of years, and especially when we had Ben Wickler as the head of the Wisconsin Democratic Party, there did seem to be a lot more outreach and a lot more people on the ground in some of these areas where maybe Democrats would not have traditionally campaigned. So I do think that there's more, right? There's been a greater effort to try and do some groundwork there.
And when you see our rural areas in Wisconsin, they are not as red as in other kind of similar states. And there is, remember, Wisconsin has a great history of being a progressive state. So a state that really has fought back against billionaires and barons and, you know, the kind of corrupt politics that we are seeing now out of Washington. Wisconsin was one of the first places to fight back and say, no, people actually deserve power in our political system, not big corporations, not dollars. And I think we can do that again. We can reclaim that mantle and invest in our communities, and especially in rural communities that have really been left behind.
I think you bring up a very important point, too, in, as far as when it comes to Democratic politics, the inflexibility that they can show towards those who disagree with them. And then we'll have sometimes the temerity to say, well, the Republicans are so inflexible and immutable. Well, we all have our own biases. And it's a time right now, especially in these times, to sit back and listen to people tell us about their problems and why they think the way they do. We can't promise to change their minds, but what you can do is promise at least to listen.
And I learned this, you know, being on the front lines of the abortion rights movement, you know, in my early 20s, right? I got to hear from so many different people who had a wide range of opinions about abortion, but I never shied away from going on Fox News or going on Christian radio, because I think it's really important to say, I respect the fact that you disagree with me on this. It's okay to have deeply held beliefs that are different from me. I've got my values, and you know, I don't want to regulate what's going on in your life. And here's why I don't want this to be regulated, because it is personal.
Absolutely.
Right? It shouldn't be the government. Yep. And you can win people on that argument, even if they disagree.
State Senator Kel DeRoy is running for Wisconsin governor. You have many, many, many months ahead, I'm sure. We would love to have you back, of course. Thank you so much for your time, Senator. We really, really appreciate it.
My pleasure. Great to be with you again.
Have a good day. News is coming up next, and then we're going to lighten it up with a little audio sorbet. That's all on the way. Stay close. You are listening to Matt Mayer on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Mayer on Air. Jane Matt Mayer, Greg Bach, Calvinator on the board. Coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can join us. Call or text. The number is the same. 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. You can also leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Coming up later on across the network, Nightlight with Pete Schwabe from 6 to 8 p.m. Not only will Pete have a word for you in our multi-state text to win, go for the green and gold contest, he'll have that word for you in the 7 o'clock hour. Tonight, Pete is joined by entertainment writer Chris Foran, and also at 7:20, he's joined by Just a Bit Outside director Sean Hamish, and they're going to talk about his latest project, No Packers, No Life.
Yes, I want to hear.
It's pretty great.
Yeah. And Jane, do you know who Pete Schwabe from Nightlight is having on his show tomorrow, Wednesday at 6:35? Do you have any idea who that possibly could be?
Would it be you?
No, I was actually asking. I wanted to know. No, it's going to be me. I'll be on the show tomorrow at 6:35 talking about the Milwaukee Comedy Festival, which kicks off unofficially on Monday with the Roast of Milwaukee.
Oh, that's so great.
Hosted by our friend Kristen Bry again.
That's awesome.
And then starting officially on Tuesday with Aparna Nansherla, Sean Patton, who just is on an FX show called English Teacher that just premiered its second season. We have Punky Johnson, formerly of SNL, as one of our headliners, and this, for me, is the GOAT, the reason I do comedy. Patton Oswalt is headlining at
You're
the Pepsi.
You're so excited,
yes,
aren't
I am
you?
Very excited. I just got goosebumps again. So I'll be talking more about that with Pete Schwabe on Nightlight. We'll talk more about it on the coming days. But yeah, it's tomorrow night, 6:35. If you want to hear more about it, tune in to Nightlight, 6 to 8 with Pete Schwabe. And you can listen on the Civic Media app if you're just not near terrestrial radio.
Yeah, exactly. We make it easy for
you.
Yeah. All right. This is the portion of the show that we call Audio Sorbet.
Ooh.
Where we like to lighten things up, take a break from the news ish.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So this is slightly news. This is news adjacent, we'll say.
News-esque.
Bad Bunny has been announced as the Super Bowl act for this year's Super Bowl. Bad Bunny, of course, of native of Puerto Rico, which is a U.S. territory.
He is basically a citizen.
He is essentially a citizen of the United States.
Yeah.
Yes.
Not a floating pile of trash, Tony Hinchcliffe.
Yeah. Not everyone is happy about Bad Bunny being tapped as the entertainment for this year's upcoming Super Bowl, which just got us talking about Super Bowl halftime shows. And here's the question for Audio Sorbet.
Indeed.
What was your favorite halftime show?
Yeah.
And you can go back as far as you want.
Yeah.
What was your favorite Super Bowl halftime show? 855-752-4842. Favorite Super Bowl halftime show? Lots of them to choose from. Mm-hmm.
I also have a Rolling Stone article here that was put out last year of the ranked worst to best, so I see where they land on the list.
Oh, interesting.
Well. But
how far back does that go?
It goes back to 37. So there's been 37 halftime shows.
Okay.
It does not include Kendrick Lamar. This came out after the Super Bowl in 2024. So he's not on this list anywhere, period.
Okay.
But I would say he's top five or top three for me personally. I thought that performance was amazing
from
start to finish. But yeah, I will say I being a petty boy,
Okay.
I enjoy healthy doses of Schadenfreude. I will say that the reaction to Bad Bunny, when I saw it, I was like, oh, the NFL is just trolling them now. Because they have been complaining for years. I don't like this. This isn't for me.
It's not American.
It's not American.
Why
can't we get some metal music in there? Really?
I thought they were just going to get Lee Greenwood for the next 20 years.
Oh, my God. So it did give me great excitement because I know this will be the most Puerto Rican thing that's ever happened on American television, and I cannot wait for it. I want every ounce of that performance to be in Spanish.
It will be.
And I can't wait because, as to me personally, it would be very easy for the NFL. And just full disclosure, Jay-Z is actually one of the people who puts together
this. It's his entertainment company.
Correct. But they have to get it approved by the NFL. I'm sure they're not going to be like, Bad Bunny, deal with it. So the NFL could do that, Jane. They could have easily said, Lee Greenwood is our guy until he's gone, and we're going to have nothing but America and the whatever country music represents as far as that goes. But they don't. They modernize something that can be easily kept stale.
Well, and Bad Bunny is one of the biggest recording artists in the world.
Correct.
Right now. He's huge.
Yeah.
Huge.
Yeah. He is gigantic. He is hosting this weekend Saturday Night Live for the second time. So he has got important. He is an important figure in culture. He is very talented. He's open-minded in his politics. He's very progressive in what he believes in. And I think all of those things, put them in a blender and pour it out, and that just makes people who just want football to be football for me in America just so scared.
It's 15 minutes, right?
Exactly.
It's a 15-minute show.
Not only that, when people say, like, I won't watch it, I'm like, all right.
Okay.
I don't watch the Super Bowl generally. I watch the commercials the next day.
855-752-4842. What was your favorite Super Bowl halftime show? 855-75-CIVIC. Barb from Waukesha texting in Lady Gaga.
Yep.
She came from the top, right?
I believe so, yeah.
She came from the top of the stadium.
I think so, yeah.
That was pretty, I remember that. That was pretty crazy.
Somebody, I'm looking for it right now. Said earlier, they sent us a text earlier in the show. This is buried in all the text words. Prince, and that is one of the most legendary because he played Purple Rain in the rain.
And I'm sure Prince had that arranged.
He just looked
at it. It would be raining, so he could do that.
I don't have to stop and think. This is from Rosemary and Aleva or Aleva. I apologize. I don't know the name of it. But I don't have to stop and think. Best Super Bowl halftime show was Prince, all caps, !3. Yeah, it was a beautiful, beautiful
great
sight.
Show.
Yeah. There are just really good performances. And I also really like it when old and new come together. Old, like, you know, you have like 50 years of rap music on stage between all these rappers a couple of years ago. I think that's very cool. But you modernize this part of it. There's nothing wrong with that. You also want to attract viewers.
And he's a big deal.
He's a huge deal.
Bad Bunny is a big deal. What was your favorite Super Bowl act? 855-752-4842. Carol from Waukesha. Calvin, we have a clip from this guy. Carol in Waukesha says her favorite Super Bowl halftime show, and this is mine as well. Little Bruno Mars. Can we hear that, please? It was a great show, I thought.
The halftime show?
The halftime show with Bruno Mars.
When you get a man like Bruno Mars on that stage who is designed specifically in a lab somewhere to entertain us.
Oh, it was great.
There's no way this isn't going to be good. Even if all the microphones went out, they'd be like, he still was great.
Carol, you and I are on the same page. Bruno Mars, fantastic, fantastic halftime show. Yeah. Who was your favorite? 855-752-4842. Richard from Waukesha is on the line. Good morning, Richard. Thanks for joining us. Who was your favorite halftime show performer?
Well, I'm a little back in time, but I thought Paul McCartney had a great show.
There you go.
Oh,
let's
yes.
See where I'll find him on the list.
I had forgotten about that. Thank you, Richard. Appreciate it.
Number 14 on the list of 37. He was in 2005. Yeah, that's a great, solid. Everyone can get behind that one.
McCartney?
That's
for sure.
Great. Yeah.
But he's not American.
Oh, he's not American. Oh, actually, I take that back. They updated this list. Kendrick Lamar is number 13. You're right. He's not American. He's
English.
Pre-America. We call him pre-America. Right. Calvin, do you have anybody on that you remember that strikes a chord, strikes your fancy
that you enjoyed?
Yeah. See, the one that's sticking out to me, and it's not because I enjoyed it or it was particularly amazing, but it's just because of the memes that came out of it. But Katy Perry.
Oh,
with the shark costume
guy.
There was other memes that came out of that performance as
that
well.
Was the baby shark thing
2015, and she scored above Kendrick Lamar. I call BS. Boo. Oh yeah, Lady Gaga did float from the top, of course, looking all Lady Gaga-ish, but yeah, though, I mean, that's the you
it's
have to get really big. It's a spectacle.
It's a spectacle.
And that's what Bad Bunny's going to bring to it. And I'm just telling all you folks out there who are like, I don't like Bad Bunny because I like America and English. Give yourself a moment. Close your eyes. Let your foot bounce. Let your hips shake.
Let the music move you, baby.
Have some chip and dip. Enjoy the show. It's 15 minutes.
Sue from Franklin, the sad texting in on WAUK. The sad part is how many people, the current administration included, don't understand that Puerto Rico is part of the United States. Yes, Sue.
Oh, they do not.
You've got a point
I
there.
Guarantee
yes,
you they do not.
Puerto Rico is a U.S. territory.
Yeah, they vote in our elections. They're not counted, but they still vote in their elections, and they can sign up for our military and pay taxes and things like that. They are Americans.
855-752-4842 for audio sorbet today. We are talking about your favorite Super Bowl performers. Who was your favorite when you look back over all the years? I also really enjoyed J-Lo and Shakira.
Oh, let's
from
see.
Just a couple of years ago.
J-Lo and Shakira. Let's see where they... Oh, yeah, that was... That's number six, 2020.
I thought they were amazing. Amazing.
Beyonce in 2013, where she had Destiny's Child reunite for that. I mean, Goosebumps again, Jane. Goosebumps again. I love Destiny's Child.
Really?
Oh, God, yeah. I love Destiny's Child, especially the trio iteration. That to me, that's the classic lineup. Yeah, that's Kelly, Michelle, Beyonce. Bed, Bath, and Beyonce.
Ronnie and Horicon. Oh, my gosh. Prince.
Mm-hmm.
All in caps as far as best Super Bowl halftime shows. PJ in the live stream says the same thing. Prince was my favorite.
He is number one on the list. And also one that if you just want to feel some feels, when America had a modicum of unity, U2's Super Bowl performance after 9/11, where they ran the names of those who'd perished, and he had an American flag as in his jacket, and it's the performance is everything. Bono just gives it all, and if I'm not mistaken, it's pretty sparse because I think that's what they wanted. They didn't want something big, but the way they pay tribute to those we lost is, oh.
Liz from Saukville texting in, she said essentially the same thing. She said, Prince and you two, mm-hmm. I can't pick between the two of those.
I won't make you.
So who was on, what was the final list that they came up with?
Do you want to know like who's number one or who's number 37?
Let's start at number 10 and go up.
Number 10 is... Let's go here. Lady Gaga.
Okay.
In 2017. Number 9, I'm sorry to say this, you're going to not like this. Madonna in 2012. Okay, get over it.
That was the worst cartwheel I've ever seen in my entire life, although I have never been able to do one, so just ignore me. Continue.
You never saw me do a cartwheel in second grade.
I can't do it.
Rihanna in 2023, who was pregnant at the time and just looked to be like, I'm here. That was interesting. Number 7, Bruce Springsteen and the E Street Band in 2009.
Okay.
Number 6, Shakira and Jennifer Lopez.
They were great.
Yep. Number 5 is Aerosmith, Britney Spears. 4, Eminem, Dr. Dre, Beyonce, U2, and Prince.
And there we go.
There you go. That's your list. Look forward to having Bad Bunny back in the country doing some fun stuff.
When we return, we're going to wrap it up with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. There's No Law for That edition. Stay with us. You're listening to Matt Mayer on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Good morning and welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Calvinator on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can join us. Call or text at 855-752-4842. You can also leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Right before the break, we were talking about Bad Bunny has been announced as the new Super Bowl halftime show. So we were talking about some of your favorite prior Super Bowl halftime shows. Mm-hmm. What was your favorite? I just wanted to get this one in from Chuck from East Troy. James Brown and ZZ Top. From 1997.
Is that even in the list? My goodness.
That was the Packers Super Bowl in 97.
Okay.
We'll have to look back for that one.
New Kids on the Block.
Oh, wow. Ugh. So anyway, thank you for taking part in that. Want to remind you, coming up in the 11 o'clock hour with Tom Hartman is your next chance to enter our multi-state text to win, go for the green and gold contest. Daily prize all the rest of this week, $200 in cash. And gold jewelry. We can all use a little spiff right now. An extra $200.
Yeah.
That'll help.
I want to tell myself I'd spend $200 on myself and something fun, but I know it would just be...
Buy something for the house.
Pay a bill. Buy groceries. Yeah.
There's a lot of folks who could use some grocery help. So Tom Hartman will have the next word for you in the 11 o'clock hour. You have to use the app in order to enter, so make sure you download the Civic Media app. He'll have another word for you at 1 p.m., then with Todd at 3 o'clock, Maggie at 5, and Pete Schwabba at 7 o'clock tonight, and then starts all again tomorrow morning in the 7 o'clock hour with Pat Kreitlow, Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Coming up for us tomorrow, Darren Von Ruden is going to be here. He is joining us monthly, and he is the president of the Wisconsin Farmers Association.
Farmers Union.
Farmers Union, thank you. Tariffs. We're going to talk tariffs.
Talking tariffs, we're talking shutdown, we're talking about his trip to D.C. He does, I believe, a quarterly trip to D.C. where he and his colleagues go there to talk to our lawmakers. We find out what he's discussing there as well.
So join us. Darren Von Ruden will be here tomorrow morning in hour number two. Right now, though, Calvin, it's 10:55. That means it is time for...
This shouldn't be a thing.
If you ever find a thing you think should not be, send it into Greg and me at janesays@civicmedia.us. JaneSays, janesays@civicmedia.us. Calvin found this one. This is from CBS News. Tim Fang with the byline. The headline reads, Bay Area police pull over Waymo robo-taxi during DUI operation.
Okay.
A police department in the San Francisco Bay Area said over the weekend they had to deal with an unusual circumstance, pulling over a driverless vehicle for a moving violation. San Bruno Police Department were conducting a DUI enforcement operation when they saw this robo-taxi making an illegal U-turn right in front of them at a light. So the officer pulled over the vehicle and there was no one there.
I feel like if you are the police officer in that moment, you get to throw down your stuff and say, dude, I'm going home. Like, it's just, what's happening right now?
The department posted on social media, that's right, no driver, no hands, no clue. Since there was no human driver, they couldn't issue a ticket.
Can they issue a ticket to the people driving the car from somewhere else?
They say their citation books do not have a box for robot. Waymo, a subsidiary of Google parent company Alphabet, was contacted. A spokesperson says the self-driving vehicle is designed to respect the rules of the road. We're looking into this, and we're committed to improving road safety through our ongoing learnings and experience. I don't think that's
right. No, that's right. That makes sense. Learnings. Okay. Yeah. Two things my head goes to. One, this is a nice piece of information. It's a prime example of why the robots will not take over, because if they can't even drive correctly, then they're not going to be able to take over the world and make us their underlings. Also, I just think they're just going to program the car next time to go into high-speed chase mode.
And they'll just take off. Police say there is legislation in the works that will allow officers to issue notices to driverless car companies. San Bruno, among several communities where Waymo is in operation, their self-driving robo-taxis also operate in San Francisco. They plan to launch service to the San Francisco International Airport and the San Jose International Airport in the coming months. I don't know about you,
no.
But I think I'm going to wait for my first robo-taxi ride for a little bit.
I would rather take a taxi ride from somebody who disregarded my request for a quiet ride, because at least I'm talking to somebody.
Yeah.
I can't do drive. Just no. Sorry.
They're not ready yet.
Yeah. And also,
they're not ready yet.
Imagine if you're the passenger in that car. It makes an illegal U-turn and gets pulled over. You're like, I'm late now.
Well, what if you're in that car and you make an illegal turn and you get broadsided?
No, thank you.
Yeah.
Nope. More like way less, am I right?
Oh, there we go. That wraps up today's episode of
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
Thank you, Greg and Calvin, and all of our engineers and everyone at Civic. Without you, nothing works. And thank you most of all for calling and for texting and for listening and watching on the stream. It means the world. I hope you find some joy today and you get the chance to share it. We have news coming up next. Tom Hartman on the way. Keep it right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We will see you tomorrow.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.